I'm Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Lauren from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
A podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts
at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1. Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Hello and welcome to episode number 66 of Better Podcasting. My name is Stephen John Drew, and with me today is the golden Stargate Pioneer.
Yes, I am Golden, I am Stargate, and I am Pioneering, and I am excited to be with you tonight because we're talking about Better Podcasting. It's Friday night, work is done, and here we go!
You know, the fact that we release this on a Tuesday, but stream it live on Friday, I always feel slightly conflicted. That's right, we do stream this to geeks.live, so if you want to get in on the fun while we're making all the errors and everything, come on by geeks.live. We're happy to have you in the chat room. We do usually stream it to Facebook as well, but since Facebook does not want Stargate Pioneer there, we try not to advertise that because Facebook doesn't want SP. We don't want Facebook. And, well, that's not true. Facebook.com/betterpodcasting. But we are here today to talk about some fun, interesting topics, including a bit of a follow-up to last week's discussion on self-hosting. We're going to get to that a bit later, but we have to first talk about our main subject, which is going to be the evolution of podcasting with some competition thrown in there. Why? Find out a bit about that. And also, we're going to hear a little bit from you about what's going on in your podcasting circles, including a bit of a interesting thing that came our way from one certain podcaster who is contending. No, they're considering, maybe it's contending, the wonderful ATR 2100 and AT 2005 that we always talk about. They have a bit of a question for us, and it's a very good one. So we'll find out that later in the show. Now, before we do talk about our main subject, we have an ongoing question for you, and it is, how have you saved your podcast?
There have been many, many times where I have saved my podcast from the depths of destruction. And we know as hobby podcasters, you've been there too. So we want to hear your story. Now, you could email us podcast@betterpodcasting.com, but you can also send us an audio clip, a video clip, which we would appreciate. Or I can try out my voiceover talents by reading your email. So if you don't want your How I Saved My Podcast story read by Stargate Pioneer with dramatic music in the background, I suggest you actually send in your own clip. So we want that. And also, I want to know what a hobby podcast sounds like, or what do you think a hobby podcast sounds like? So let us know. We've had a lot of people chime in with that question. Thank you very much for everybody that's answered that already. Now, Stephen, if you want to see or hear the Golden Stargate Pioneer, not on the GunnaGeek.com network, where do you think you need to go?
You would need to go to On the Bubble.
That's right. OnTheBubblePodcast.com. Listener Josh Liston.
Yeah, I guess we should specify that. That is a podcast. You're not actually going on top of a bubble. You know,
that would be kind
of
neat.
Everywhere, like actually getting one of those big giant bubbles that you go in, or maybe you're just standing on bubble wrap. No, that's not what we're talking about here.
Or like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory sort of thing. No. We're not talking about any of that. What we're talking about is that On the Bubble podcast.com. Josh Liston has a bunch of podcasts talking about Save Our TV Show campaigns, how they turned out, a little bit of history of the show, whatever. He did one on the show Defiance, which I had a podcast on, the sci-fi show Defiance called Voices of Defiance. So he asked for my voice. He asked to use a couple of clips from Voices of Defiance. I said, sure, have at it. And he pumped that episode out this week. I listened to it. It is awesome. I love the narration style that he does. So go check that out on thebubblepodcast.com. It is On the Bubble, Save Our Show TV Fan Campaigns, podcast number 6. Thank you, Josh, for letting me do that. I don't know what it is. I like voiceover work. Maybe I should switch my profession to that.
You should. I would agree with that statement. You should go ahead and do that. Let's go ahead, though, and talk about our main subject right now. And before we talk about this, this is just, I could mention it at the end of the show when we talk about what's happening at Geeks.live, but I'm not going to because it would be old by then. In the chat at Geeks.live, we did have one faithful listener, Nate, say, "Bubble Boy, Bubble." And that's a fair point. I love, big Seinfeld fan, the Bubble Boy.
Bubble Boy. That was a whole, I guess I'm too old because, or older than you, because I remember the movies Bubble Boy, which I guess one was pretty erotic and the other one was kind of a after TV school special, whatever. So just beware of which one you actually watch. But Bubble Boy was actually a movie and a real person, I believe, too, which it was based on. Anyway, what we're talking about this week is competitive podcasting. That's right. This is the week following the Superb Owl, as Steven calls it. I call it the Super Bowl. And Steven was all decked out this past week in his Patriots gear. He is a New England Patriots fan. I have to say, I have to admit that Tom Brady is one heck of a quarterback to pull the pretty much the greatest Super Bowl win off ever, in my opinion. So congratulations, whether you're a New England Patriots fan or not, it was one heck of a game to watch. I really didn't have a dog in the fight. I didn't care for either team, but Steven did. So congratulations, Steven, on your Super Bowl Sunday being so great.
It was all me. It was all me.
That's right. The sixth man, all on the other side of the country, enabled the Patriots to win. So this brings up a good point. We're talking about competition, and the NFL is kind of the pinnacle of competition in the United States, unless you're talking about business. Well, podcasting is sort of a business now. Matter of fact, it's very much a business. So what we're going to be talking about is hobby podcasting and how it's turned competitive. Now, when podcasts started in 2004, there was a very different wasteland of podcasting, really, because it was brand new. The infrastructure wasn't there, and at least that it is now. There was not as many people technologically capable of producing podcasts, and it was just a different landscape. And I know, Steven, I know what you're saying. Steven, you're saying, SP, this is not 2004 anymore, man. Get over it. Get into the 2017. Yeah, I get it. 2017 podcast has changed 13 years later.
Yeah,
I guess it's really like 12 and a half because I think the RSS was like September of 2004 when it came out. But in any event, podcasting has changed. You have more stable media host providers. We've talked about them before. Podbean, Libsyn, Blueberry. Mm-hmm. You have established podcast distribution directories. iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the list goes on and on. You have a readily available, and I will call them point of play devices, whether you're talking about your smartphone or you're talking about your apps, set top boxes, because you can actually play a podcast through your Xbox One. I have done it. And smart home devices. I've also played my podcast through my Amazon Echo. You have streaming capabilities. We're streaming right now through two of them. We're streaming through YouTube Live, which is Hangouts on air enabled if you're a hobby podcaster. You have Skype available. You have Spreaker, Mixler, Facebook Live. So that was not available way back when. You have recording capabilities that didn't exist back then. Recording did exist, but it was completely different than it is today. If you are just entering the podcast sphere now, thank your lucky stars, you didn't have to do it 13 years ago because it was very different and very much more difficult. Editing software, you still had Audacity and GarageBand around, but they were very different than they are today. So you have those. You also have video editing suites that are suitable for home purchase really on a low budget, like what I use, Corel Video Studio. There's others out there. And of course you have on what's the program on the Mac? I want to say it's iMovie.
I can't remember, but let's go with it.
Whatever it is, if you're a Mac user, I apologize, but you can tell me how I'm wrong, and that's usually how it works around here. And you have web-based players that didn't exist back then, PodPress, Libsyn, Spreaker, et cetera, et cetera. I don't want to leave anybody up. The list is very, very long. And you also have podcast networks, which aggregate different podcasts. Like we have Gonna Geek.
Yeah.
That's a consolidation of different podcasts. Way back when, you might have only one show, and that was your point of presence, was one show. And now you can tap multiple shows through the same network. So things have changed. Also, something else has changed, Stephen. There's more podcasts available now than there ever has been before, right?
Yeah, no, and there's like, when you even go and try to divide it into a bunch of different categories, your sort of categories within podcasts is always growing. You know, you've got entertainment-based shows, like after-show TV sort of stuff. You've got technology-based podcasts, political shows, audio dramas, which is... You know, audio dramas is interesting because it's kind of been in and out over the last, can we call it 15 years? Let's call it 15 years-ish of podcasting. And you've got investigative journalism. You know, we've all heard about a certain big show that has made the waves within the podsphere. You've got video gaming, sports, how-to podcasts. Not that we know anything about how-to podcasts or anything like that.
Nothing at all. Nothing at all.
There's even an interesting niche that's coming in now, which I love, which is veteran assistant podcast. What a great way to do that. Fantastic. And it just, the list is on and on and on. And this is something that it used to sort of be your typical... sort of podcast was people getting around just to talk about this, that, and the other, right? Like that was sort of it at the beginning, and now it's really just narrowed down into a bunch of different subjects, and it just keeps going on and on. So the point here is that the landscape has changed grossly from when podcasting first started.
And you have hundreds of thousands of podcasts versus dozens or hundreds way back in 13 years ago. So this pod space has changed. One of the things that has changed, it has never been easier to make money with your podcast in the podsphere than it ever has been. You can monetize your podcast, and there's more services available today to help produce, promote, distribute, and host your podcast than there ever has been before. And different ways that you can monetize your podcast. We don't really talk about monetization on Better Podcasting because we are about the hobby podcaster. But this is just a few ways that we have noticed that can help you monetize your podcast. Of course, there's PayPal, which was really the first way to help podcasters monetize because it isolated, it was the middleman in between podcasters and your listeners. So they felt safe enough giving you money and that they just weren't giving it to a shyster or a multi-level marketing scheme or something like that, or somebody that was going to try to steal their credit. Now we have Patreon, which a lot of people like a little bit better because you can contribute to your individual by month or by whatever they release. If you release four podcasts a month, they might give $1 per podcast. So they might give you $4 a month. And if you don't release any, you don't give them any, you as a Patreon don't give the podcaster any money. So there's that. And also direct donation has never been easier because of automatic bank checks that you can send. If you have an address posted, a PO box posted on your website and a name, you can say, hey, send it to this person at this address, and your bank does it for free. So you avoid all those charges that PayPal and Patreon do. There's also sponsor supported. You can get your own advertisement. Now, we've never had an advertisement on Better Podcasting or any of my shows, really, but that is something you can do. You can contact Casper Mattresses yourself, and you can have them write a contract, and you say, okay, for 3 months, I am going to promote Casper Mattresses.
Yeah.
And that's a way to do it. Or you can use an agent to do that same thing, or you can go through a third party, such as Spreaker now is doing advertisements third party with dynamically inserted ads. Now you have to sign up for it, but it is available. I will tell you that if you're not getting a lot of downloads, you're not going to make even your hosting costs back because it's like 0.005 cents per play over there. But it is available. If you're getting enough downloads and you don't want to have a sponsor, it is one way to monetize your podcast and pay for your time, and more importantly, to pay for the technology and hosting.
Now, what's interesting about all of this is that it's changed again from sort of the early days. Like, I have been podcasting since 2008, and back in the day, it was relatively easy to end up getting all of these listener supports because, you know, you were kind of offering something that was almost unique to a degree, or when you're seeking out sponsors and things like that. And it's changed a little bit. And so maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes, but definitely it has changed a lot because of the evolution that's happened.
There is just, there's a ton of businesses out there that support podcasting, and these businesses are in the business to make money. They're not in the business to lose money. So they are trying to make money supporting podcasters, whether it's production services, podcast consulting, measuring your downloads, believe it or not, you can pay to have that done. Tech companies are actually producing podcast gear to support the podcaster. So there's all this industry that has started to spring up around podcasting, and they all want to make money. Some of them are altruistic, I'll admit it, but most of them just want to make money any way they can, because that is what businesses do. And so you have to keep that in mind. So you have podcasts that are making money. You have services that are trying to make money from podcasters, whether you're a hobby podcaster or whether you're a procaster. We'll get to that in a second. And then you have all these advertisers that are entering the sphere. And the big thing that has really come into play in the last couple years, it's never been not here, but it is here with a vengeance. It's something that I just alluded to called a procaster. Now,
the Rode Procaster, right? That's what you're talking about, the microphone?
Well, you know, there's that too, the Rode Procaster, and I'm really anxious to try one day, but for now, I will use my Electro Voice RE320. But no, I'm talking about procasters, so professional people that make money from podcasting, or companies that make money from podcasting, like actual networks like Gimlet Media, like the Nerdist Network. Nerdist started out as a hobbyist sort of entity, but they make money now. But you have major corporations, ESPN, they make money for their podcasts. They don't just throw out their podcasts for nothing. They actually try to monetize them. Like I said, this is not new, but they are here in the space. This is all important to note. And it is also important to note that because we counted like hundreds of thousands of podcasts, their odds are you are going to be in a niche while you're podcasting that somebody in your niche is a procaster. There will be dozens, if not hundreds, of podcasts in your niche. Odds are, maybe you found a brand new way to podcast that nobody's thought about before or nobody's currently doing. But odds are you will have somebody in your niche that's a procaster. So this means that there's going to be competition, which is in stark contrast to the way it was about 10 years ago. Like when I first started listening to podcasts, we've been down this story before. I started listening around the time that Battlestar Galactica was on, and there was Battlestar Galactica after show TV shows. There was about four or five different podcasts, including the official one from Ronald D. Moore, that podcasted about Battlestar Galactica. They were not in business. None of them were really in business to make money. They were competitive. They wanted your downloads. They wanted to be better than the other person in a geeky competitive Super Bowl sort of way. But it was just for collegial purposes. They weren't really monetizing. They might have been trying to monetize it, but they weren't really monetizing. Now, I guarantee you, there's somebody out there that is doing an after show on the show that you are doing an after show on that is trying to do it professionally, that is trying to stay at home and pump like five of these out a day and have this giant network. There's networks based all over this country that do this, that have studios, and they just want to pump out podcasts to support their podcasting business. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, be careful. These exist, and they will start to be competitive with you. Right, Steven?
Absolutely. And that's something that I personally think, okay, We have a lot of people who say right now that there is no competition within podcasting, that, you know, we're all in this together. Well, while that is true to a degree, I actually have to disagree with that point as well, because the reality is right now we're at a point where a lot of new ears are coming in because of these companies that are really starting to make podcasting more mainstream for people to listen to. You know, there's always, I'm not going to name names, but there's a certain family member who at one point, it was last year, found out I did podcasts, and then they're like, hey, did you hear about this podcast? And I'm not going to name the name there either, because it was like the podcast that every average Joe says that is like the most amazing thing in the world. And it was just like, okay, this is kind of interesting, because I never expected this person to be into podcasting as passionate as they are. And of course, it made me really realize, okay, all of these big companies that are putting out productions that are drawing in these mainstream listeners, the people who aren't, you know, your average or your old time podcast listener, your geeks and things like that, it's really going to show that there is going to be a lot of competition, because everybody's fighting for this new audience. And if you're not making the changes and adapting, you are going to fall behind. And in turn, it really is competition, in my opinion, because if you've got the show and someone else has a show and your show doesn't have that appeal factor, well, you're going to lose listeners over. So it is, in my opinion, it is competition to a degree. And it's something that we really need to remember as people start to come in, because as SP said, it used to be different. And I think that sometimes we like to think we're still living in the past, but it is a very competitive market right now compared to how things used to be.
So this is a list of things that could possibly happen to you because of competition. Now, some of this happened outside of competition, but I guarantee you some of this stuff is happening right now to people because of the monetary system involved in podcasting. So one is, I have actually seen, and I didn't believe it myself, but I heard it on another podcast called The Feed from Libsyn. There was a podcast that went to every single other podcast in their niche in iTunes and put a 1-star negative review. And in that review, they said, you should really check out this podcast over there, which just happened to be their podcast. Go figure, right? So there is a deal with iTunes where not all the reviews on iTunes are legitimate. There has been review swapping going on in the past, but this is out of spite. This is,
yeah,
your podcast sucks, come listen to this podcast over here, which just so happens to be mine, but it's way better and you should listen to that. I personally would never do that. That is just not me. I would not go to another podcast about podcasting and say, you're wrong, you don't know what you're talking about, you need to come to Better Podcasting. Never do that. And there are people that will do that. And it doesn't have to be a podcast about podcasting. It could be a podcast. I do a podcast on Arrow called The Starling Tribune. There is another podcast out there called The Arrow Squad. And they could come to us, or we could go to them and say, your podcast sucks. Well, here's the problem. Both of our audiences could rebel and go after the other podcast and just fill their reviews with negative reviews. This actually happened. Not to the Arrow podcast, by the way.
SP went onto my Facebook page and you should have seen the negative things he wrote on there. It was insane. Oh, wait, that's not what you're talking about.
No, I'm not. yeah, let's see. Okay, so what really happened is, I'm not going to say the niche. I'm not going to say the podcast name. I'm just going to say this story really happened where somebody did this, and it's wrong in my opinion, but it happens, and it happens because they're trying to build an audience so they can make money. That is the only reason that it happened. The other thing is, they will put links in your comments on your webpage, not just in iTunes, but everywhere you are, and you will have trolls or bullies both on your podcast, on your live stream. And guess what? I did a panel last year. We were trolled during that panel. There was a specific question that was asked by an individual who I didn't really know until after the fact, the history behind it, but it was a planted question. We handled it with dignity, with class. We told what our information was, and we said, this is the way it is. And then we moved on to the next question, which is how you should handle that. But this sort of thing, you can get trolled at wherever you are and say you don't know what you're talking about, or somebody knows how to rattle you and they'll bring up the certain subject to deliberately get you off track, because there are manipulators out there and they will manipulate you. This has actually happened. It happened to me last year at C2E2, and it could happen to you. You can have your content reported. Why? Mm-hmm. I have no idea, but it can be reported. We've talked about it before, both on Gonna Geek and Better Podcasting. We've had videos that have been reported for content on YouTube, and they were taken down. We had to refute the report. Like, this, there's no reason why this should have been taken down.
We should have asked Bandrew about that when he was on a few episodes ago, because I'm sure he's encountered that too, because we've had it. And yeah, you're right. People could just go in and report things, and you know, you got to go through the hurdles on this. And I also know that there was a certain member of the Gunna Geek Network who used to be on Facebook, and he's no longer on Facebook anymore because apparently his name wasn't authentic. And one can suspect maybe that was to do with it as well. I'm talking about Stargate Pioneer, by the way. If you're not a longtime listener, SP, he did have to get off of Facebook because he used the name Stargate Pioneer. So
Facebook? Yeah. I was booted off of Facebook, plain and simple.
He was booted off Facebook. There's also the other thing as well is people who then go and they game the system. They go and they Twitter bomb, or they use SoundCloud plays, things like this. There's, because it's such a competitive nature, they're like, okay, how do I enhance myself? Maybe not truthfully, but how do I make myself seem a little bit better? And there's people that do this, or they end up doing a bunch of promotions, like they do interviewing without actually back promoting for the SEO sort of things or for the attention, so they can absolutely try to gain a little bit of traction that way. And also, one of my favorite things as well is maybe you target somebody, not you, but maybe somebody targets you with online hacking. That's something that can absolutely happen. And you've heard about this, where there has been competition, and it goes back further than podcasting, just the online world, where competitor A goes, oh, you know what I'm going to do? Whoopsie, competitor B is now subscribed to this sort of attack process. And then competitor A has problems with that. And this is stuff happening now that it is a competitive market in podcasting. It's insane.
There's sneaky stuff people can do left, right, and backwards, and have done, and will continue to do. So we've told you a lot of things that can happen. It's not an all-inclusive list, but it's just, and it's not meant to scare you, but it's meant to scare you. It's meant to open your eyes to, this is not just your collegial, hey, buddy, let's do a podcast and everybody's going to get along great. Well, that might be true, but there's others out there that might think differently. So if you are a podcaster on this planet in 2017, odds are you're going to be affected, and here are some things that you can do to mitigate that effect. So first of all, if you're doing any sort of podcast, and if you're talking about the subject, do your research, know your facts. And here's most importantly, you might not be the world's expert on something. So if somebody points out to you, you're wrong, admit you're wrong and say, I'm sorry, I didn't know this. And then you move on. That's how you learn. That's how you go forward. And that's how you become an expert. Like, well, I learned this, so that's how I'm going to do this over and over again. I have listened to various different podcasts that have been on the air for years. And every podcast that I've listened to that's been on the air for like 5 years, there has been at least one time where they have been wrong and they've been called out on it. And they have to go on their podcast the next week, the next month, and say, yep, I was told that I was wrong. I looked into it, and this is really what's out there. Or I'm sorry, I misspoke. Because you can misspeak too in the heat of the moment of recording, especially if you're doing live. And you can go back and then correct yourself. Newspapers have done this for years with retractions. You just have to be upfront about it, and you have to do the retraction. So that's number one. Know your stuff, and then be able to back away when you're wrong.
Like when I called SP out on all of the stuff that he made up on my Facebook wall.
When I had Facebook.
The other thing is, you want to make sure, of course, that you're staying within the terms of service for the platform that you're using. Now, why is this important? Well, again, getting back sort of to that nature of people possibly sabotaging your work. If they go and they hear you doing something that's no-no, it's a potential avenue for them to report you, and thus you are taken down fairly easily. This happens all the time. People end up, it doesn't matter to me. Oh, look, it does matter to me because I'm bound to the same terms and conditions. So keep that aware of, or keep aware of that as well. The other thing as well is make sure that you kind of do step away from any of the toxic online feeds and keep that out of your stuff as well. And what I mean by that is you want to make sure that you're not getting drawn into something that's going to look negatively for yourself. So somebody comes over to your situation, your podcast, and they're like putting a bunch of disparaging stuff that you think is very offensive and is not going to go well. Maybe you need to do a little moderation on that as well and make sure you don't get drawn in and bring that into your program.
It is the classic thing about the actor not reviewing the reviews the day after the play, basically. It's if you need to step away from that, and that is your personality, step away from that. But also, especially in it's 2017, we're not going to talk politics, but I'm going to talk politics. There's a lot of mudslinging going around. There's a lot of sides being shown, and it has never been stronger on Facebook and Twitter and social media than it is today. A lot of memes, a lot of jokes, but there's a lot of real feelings and hurt going on out there. Just step away from it. Mute those feeds that are active in those areas that you don't want to hear about. Make sure you're not in those groups or don't have those groups notifications on for areas that you know is just going to be controversial. Now, to be a podcaster, you have to have a thick skin. But on the other hand, you don't have to expose yourself to all those dangers all the time. So that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about purging yourself of those feeds. And, oh, by the way, if you are in those feeds, treat every single interaction like it will be seen by everybody. You know, a long time ago in my work, I had somebody come up to me and they said, look, this is a philosophy I have with my work. Is this something that you could watch yourself on 60 Minutes or 2020 and be okay with? Can you adequately defend yourself to the nation on those programs? And that really made me think, like, okay, well, nobody's watching and, you know, I can try to do this. But if somebody just happens to see me, and nowadays with cell phone and the cameras, odds are somebody, and with all the surveillance you have with closed circuit surveillance and people surveilling their homes with nanny cams and odds are somebody's watching you all the time. So treat every interaction, treat every situation you're in like somebody's recording it, and it would end up on the front page of whatever or in the national news somehow. And that video will go viral. So yeah. Treat every interaction like that. Treat every action like that.
Absolutely. The other thing as well is make sure when you are paying attention to all of this sort of stuff here, you end up essentially securing yourself in a couple different ways, because you're out there, you're now essentially a public presence. That's what it is you're now speaking not just for yourself, you're speaking for your brand, your podcast. So you're using your kid gloves where properly, like SP said. Well, doesn't really matter, because if you voice your opinion on anything, there's probably somebody who's going to disagree with it. And again, they may end up targeting you. And what's another way that they could do that? Well, they could take you down if you just have insecure passwords. That's something that could happen. Is you want to make sure that you secure your accounts using proper passwords, as well as we talked briefly about it last week, you know, backing things up, keeping things to date, including your PC, because you could be targeted by one of those wonderful crypto locker viruses that we spoke about last year, where it locks down your computer and you can't get everything back. So you want to be aware of that, you know, think outside of your individual mindset. Before you weren't a public presence. Now that you're doing a podcast, you are, and you could, your chances of being targeted are enhanced. So that's something to consider. Back your stuff up. Other way you might want to end up making sure to secure yourself is put agreements in writing. Now, this is any agreement. We talk all the time about hosting co-hosts, have an agreement with them. Well, what about, we talked about the money. If you're collecting money from people like sponsors, get it in writing. What are they expecting from you? And what are you going to give them? Get it in writing. Anytime you're making any decision that is an agreement, it's best to put it in writing so that you don't end up being a victim of the competitive market later.
Yeah, and if you have negative reviews out there, ask your fans, ask your listeners, ask your watchers. You know, there's some negative stuff out there. We just need you to compete with it. We need you to put some positive stuff out there, because we're not going to, if you're one of these people, and I'm not saying that you can't, you have to be one of these people or not, that do not delete comments, that leave all your comments on there. If there's a negative comment out there, a positive comment or 100 will counteract that. Look at Amazon reviews, right? If you have a 1-star Amazon review, but you have 1,000 5-star reviews, odds are, with verified purchasers, by the way, odds are you're going to believe those 1,000 5-star reviews over the 1 1-star review. The same thing is true of your content as a podcaster. And then also, as I was talking about before, with every interaction, every action, treat everyone with class, with respect. Thank them for their time, for their hard work, for anything that they've done for you. Just stay classy, San Diego. I did not just say that, did I? Yes, I did.
You did.
Stay classy,
yeah, you
did. San Diego. But seriously, stay classy, because people will remember class acts. They'll also remember really bad people, and I want to say a certain word, but I know it's going to be bleeped, so I'm not going to. People remember those, but they don't come back to their content. People come back to people that are class. Like Tom Hanks is a class act. People will continue to watch his stuff. There are other actors and actresses out there that are like, they're not a class act. I don't want to really support them with my dollar. So think people will do that with your podcast as well. So stay classy.
Yeah. What you were referring to, of course, was moles that are heavy, right? Heavy set moles, you know, massy moles. That's what you were saying. Mass moles. That's what you meant, right?
Sure. We'll go with that.
So that does take us to the end of our segment. And we just want to recap the reason why we wanted to go through this, because there's a lot of information around the podcasting world right now. And while we do all have to work together, it's the best thing that we can do for each other as the market changes, as work together. The reality is the people coming in, shifting, everything we've just talked about is changing the way things are. And we have to be reflecting the fact that we are now a lot more competitive than we used to be. And while on the front, a lot of people will act friendly and whatnot, in the background, they are still competitive. And you got to be aware of this to a degree, because, again, that person opposite to you, if they're putting out a better product, there is the potential for their audience to come against yours or something like that, or them to elevate over you. So just be aware of it all. Everything's changing. And there's been a ton of changes since podcasting first started. And we're hoping that what we just ran through helps you shape your podcast the best that it can be.
That's right. And if you have any questions, please let us know. But more importantly, if you have a specific issue that you've seen changed in the podsphere since you have entered the podsphere, or since you've been listening to podcasts that is along the lines of competition, please let us know at podcast@betterpodcasting.com, or catch us on any of the other ways to catch us as well. But please let us know, and we would like to talk about it in the future on Better Podcasting.
All right, let's download it up.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
Once in a while, we have somebody who essentially agrees with what we were saying. That's right. This week, there was an article that came out that told you all about how you want to start your podcast, what you need to start your podcast. And this was put out on a site that you might have heard before called Forbes. And Forbes had a very, very extensive list. Like, this was something that it took me all morning. It took me 5-10 minutes just to read the first section, and then, man, I just got lost. No, what it was if you go to betterpodcasting.com in the latest episode, we'll put a link into this, and it is a very, very short list. All it says is this is what you need, and it lists 3 things. It tells you, you need a voice, you need a recorder, and you need a way to host and distribute your podcast. And that's what we've been saying here to you as the hobby podcaster, is you don't need an extensive setup. You don't need to spend 6 months preparing for your podcast. even though sometimes people do. You just need yourself a few basic tools, and if you choose the right basic tools, you're gonna sound good from the start. And so we always talk about there are personal preference that we recommend is the Audio-Technica AT2005 microphone. If you can't get that, the ATR2100 is wonderful. We just think the 2005 just edges it out. Plus, it doesn't smell as bad. This true story. Write us if you want to find out more about that. You just need some basic tools and then apply yourself to that. You know, make sure you do get your message out clear and concise. And do all the things that we talk about on this show, but you don't need a lot to get started.
No, the article was titled All You Need for a Minimum Viable Podcast. It was put out by Sarah Rhea Werner, and it was published on January 30th, 2017. Three simple things, all you need to start a podcast. Now, if you have already started a podcast and just want to make it a little bit better, that's what we're here for. We're here to help you start, but we're also here to make your podcast better as you go along. So have fun with it, get it started, and then if you have questions, let us know.
Absolutely. And before we wrap up from this download, we just wanted to quickly drop that in here. I think we should solicit some feedback from you, the listener. Tell us, how did you start? What was your setup when you started? Please get in touch with us through any of the ways that you'd like. You can absolutely reach us at facebook.com/betterpodcasting. You can reach us at twitter.com/betterpod. You can email podcast@betterpodcasting.com or just go to betterpodcasting.com and comment there. We absolutely want to know, how did you get started and with what equipment? So please let us know. Maybe things have changed since when you even started. Now, let's find out, what did you have to say this week? Alrighty, it's time to follow up for last week's episode. That's right, if you didn't check out episode 65 of Better Podcasting, we talked about self-hosting. That was the dramatic pause. That's what that was right there. Or it was me just getting old and forgetting. It could be either one.
I kind of figured you were having a stroke for a second.
No, we talked about self-hosting your RSS feeds and a lot of considerations you might want to have. And we ended up getting a comment on there from a listener, and the listener had asked about the section that we talked about where we talked about having an RSS feed on your domain, how it could give you potential SEO, search engine optimization. And if you want to see the full details of all the examples that I ended up providing on there, you can go to betterpodcasting.com and go to episode 65 and you'll see the comments there. But we wanted to just quickly touch on that here because it is something that if we had one listener ask, maybe we have other people curious about it. And the bottom line is, the theory behind what we were saying was that a lot of times when you look at search engine optimization guides, they talk about not splitting your content, not duplicating your content in different places, because you're essentially fighting with yourself. And so if you end up putting all of your content on your one domain, then you end up in a situation that you're essentially building the credibility for that, because that's another thing that a lot of SEO tutorials talk about, is if you have links that are authentic links linking back to your website, it doesn't matter if it's a subdomain, if it's a folder on there, it's essentially building what the Google and the Bing perceive to be as a quality product for the search terms. So you end up putting your RSS feed on your domain, and it's helping, if anybody links back to that, it's helping build credibility to your domain. As well, the other side of things with that is when you look at an RSS feed has a lot of tags in there. And one of the tags is often linking back to the main episode. And you, as the hobby podcaster, when you go and you sign up for a media host, you're essentially probably just going through the basics. If you've got yourself another website that you're running, you're going through the basics with your media host, probably taking a lot of the default settings. And what's going to happen if you take those default settings is you're probably going to end up having a duplicate page on your media host site, because a lot of the media hosts do offer that. So what ends up happening is within your RSS feed, it's essentially linking back to that media host instead of your domain. So if you list yourself on a certain directory, podcast directory that pulls those tags, it might link back to your media host instead of your domain. And thus again, damaging some of that SEO. I did a bit of quick research, and some of the places that I saw podcast directories that I saw pulling back information from this RSS feed and thus going back to the people who use MediaHost page. Player.fm had some links. There was Podbay, even, you know, the Twitter links that people often enable on there. Of course, those are linking back. There's a site called Podfilter. There's just a whole bunch of stuff. And that's just some of the main ones just from doing a quick Google. If you go and you look at, you know, more Joe Schmo building directory services, they might have similar code that also does that. Or they just go and maybe somebody goes and copies and pastes the wrong link. And again, then you're sort of damaging yourself. That happened with us. I searched for our Libsyn page, and sure enough, what did I find on Reddit? On Reddit, I found somebody recommending our podcast. Was an SPRI, but saw somebody and they linked to our Libsyn. So, you know, we're a hobby podcaster. We left our Libsyn page enabled, of course. And sure enough, somebody ended up doing that. So it's just all a bunch of factors that was contributing to that comment. Now, with that said, the whole conversation about SEO happened over basically a minute and 30 seconds-ish. And it's just one factor that you should consider when you are deciding whether you want to self-host your RSS feed or you want to go a media host. So it's just one small factor of the whole episode. So I encourage you to go check out the whole episode so that you can get sort of both sides of the coin and make that informed decision. And that's ultimately what we wanted to do, was present you with an episode that gives you some alternative information that isn't often talked about, and just give you the side from somebody like myself who has self-hosted the RSS successfully since 2008. So I want to just give that to you. And it's just one piece of the puzzle. Look at the whole thing. Don't get fixated on it. And if there was one thing in there that was going to make or break, maybe it's not for you, because it shouldn't be a one factor decision. We just wanted to provide you the information. So that's the quick follow-up. If you have any other questions, get in touch with us. I'm always happy to explore this further. I just don't want to turn this into an SEO cast.
Well, we do have one question in the chat, okay, which is relevant, and it's by Bandrew Scott. Okay. Do you know who Bandrew is? I don't know. Who's Bandrew?
Bandrew Scott? Oh, don't do that. He was our wonderful guest a couple episodes ago. Don't be so mean to our guests.
So go back to Better Podcasting number 64. Check out his wonderful interview that he did with us, and then go over to his YouTube page, Podcastage, and get all this great podcast gear reviews. It's awesome. I've been checking it out more and more. And if you want to know anything about podcast gear, that is the place to go. Anyway, his question is, do you think that submitting to podcast directories is a valuable in terms of exposure? And I would say, yes, it is. That you... the point of putting a podcast out is to put it out so it can be discovered wherever. So that is important. So iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn are some of the main ones that I would absolutely recommend that you throw into. Now, iTunes distributes because different people pull from that. Like Overcast comes from iTunes. So you're distributing to more than just those places.
Yes.
But those are, it's almost a no-brainer, because if you're just putting it on your website or you're just putting it in one directly like Stitcher, you're going to miss a whole big portion of your audience out there. So absolutely, I would recommend submitting to other places. And Stephen, that gets to your point where you were saying all the search results were all over the place. Yeah, it's going to get that, but you want your main search result to be your website. So you do everything to try to drive people to that website. I think that was the point of Steven's comment there. So we also put a Twitter question out there from our Twitter feed at BetterPod, and it said, what inspired you to choose podcasting as your hobby? Because we're hobbyists here at Better Podcast, and we want to know, how did you get to podcasting from where you are? And Diami Ploki, he responded and he said, my hobby of woodworking. Well, okay. So you did woodworking and that led to podcasting. Very well. And I think he was a listener of the podcast that he runs right now before. So good on you, Diami. And then Kenneth, he responded and said, a lifelong wish created by quote unquote Moon Knight Caller in the 80s that found a way forward when I discovered the format of at Glug Radio. So audio drama, I believe, is what he's talking about there. And I remember doing that as well. Saturday nights when hockey season wasn't on, I would listen to WCCO Radio 830 in Minnesota and listen to all the awesome audio dramas that they had back then. And I am so pleased to have that available to me anytime now. So that was great. Also, we had a question that we alluded to at the beginning of the podcast. Yes. We're going to talk about it right now. So, Stephen, take it away, sir.
We had Nate from the Gunna Geek Network. He said, so listening to Better Podcasting, there is ravings about the ATR 2100, but I need to get two microphones and I want to stick to $50 or less each. Mm. I was looking at the ATR 1500. Any thoughts or recommendations? Well, Nate, this is a fantastic question and one that we may have considered before. And we're just going to tease it this week because we don't have time. And then we're going to make this an upcoming download because I actually have in this very pod space, hashtag pod pressure. Wait, different pod hashtag. I actually have one in this very office, and I'm going to do a bit of a test to show you the difference between the two. And the thing that you want to know is the functionality is a little bit different between the two, based off of the specs. But, you know, I'm sure you've probably looked into that already if you've gone in and thought of this microphone. Now, with that said, I will tease as far as saying that the reason the ATR 1500 is within my pod arena right now is because somebody else had mentioned it to us before. So it is something that we know of somebody who's used it, but I just don't feel comfortable enough yet because I haven't done the test to speak to it. But I will absolutely do a test because you are not the first person to ask this question.
Yeah, there's a lot of concern about trying to get good podcast gear as cheaply as possible. And we understand that, we realize that, and we are working forward to move forward with what we would recommend and the limitations of the gear given the cost. So just stay tuned for that. Now I'm going to move on for the next. That was a good question, by the way, yes. Nate, and one that we are excited to find the answer out ourselves. But we're going to move on. We got a great email from Johnny Pennington.
Yes, Johnny.
Just want to say, how you doing, Johnny? Thanks for the email. And we're still looking forward to seeing your podcast out there. Looking forward to that. Get that podcast out there.
And the final thing that we're going to talk about here is from Scott Smith.
He asked us a question over on our Facebook page, Better Podcasting. And of course, Stephen let me know what was going on over there because I don't have a Facebook page. He said, and this is Scott Smith, patent pending, because we believe he has a patent pending. But he said, I'm amazed at the number of our guests that think they have a microphone that will only pick up a human voice and somehow filter all out their dog barking. Did a microphone manufacturer use that as a gimmick? The Shure 9200 dog bark woof, woof, illuminator? Guaranteed only to pick up a human voice. Okay. So this, you can hear it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It happens all the time. You can have a air conditioner fan in the background, which, by the way, over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I constantly, those girls, they live in very hot climates and they always have their air conditioner on. And yeah, I can hear it in their recording. It doesn't go away, folks.
No. And not only that, it's not just dogs, it's cats, it's children, it's trains, it's everything, you know, it's all there. So that's one of the reasons why we recommend a dynamic microphone, because it reduces that and you still hear it. So imagine if you had yourself a condenser microphone. So there you go. That is our feedback that was emailed this week. Thank you to everybody who did chime in, as well as everybody who came by our live presence at Geeks.live as we were recording. We had a few different people, including Michael Rondu, who said Star Wars podcasting is stressful. And then he booed me for my Patriots fandomonium. He's a Dolphins fan. We had the Ninja Fat Man at Geeks.live. Say, bros, we got a takedown for the game Dombrowski. I coded, did the art, and composed the music. Literally, we owned every aspect of the game, and we got a takedown notice. What the expletive. Yeah, so there's a great example. If you're not familiar, Nate, I've been referring to him, he goes by the Ninja Fat Man. He is a actual game developer. He's a member of the Gunna Geek Network, and yeah, this is his example. His own content got himself a notice. So you got to be aware of that. We also had Bandrew Scott comment on the same thing, saying that he personally hasn't had to deal a lot with copyright claims in the past on Podcastage, knock on wood. So, you know, you can get lucky. So I'm very happy for you, Bandrew. And finally, we actually got an email while we were recording from Johnny Pennington saying he just got on the live stream and was watching the production miracle. Thanks, guys. And his subject on this was my first live stream anywhere. That's awesome.
Oh, wow.
Very
congratulations,
cool.
Johnny. It was great. I did see that email come in. So thank you very much, Johnny. We're glad to have you. And we're glad that we're your first, because that's important to Steven.
So thanks, everybody who did chime in. And to you, the listener and viewer who are checking this out after, as always, feel free to get in contact with us through any of the ways. And we'll talk to you during the week, and also probably talk about it on the next show. Now, you're saying to yourself, Steven, I am part of hashtag Team Stargate Pioneer. Actually, it's hashtag Team SP. That's what it is. Hashtag Team SP.
Wait a minute. Hashtag Team Golden SP.
Okay, hashtag Team Golden SP. That's the official hashtag. I want to know, how can I see him without seeing you? This is an important criteria to me. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, you will not get me alone, but you will get me without Steven, because on April 14th, April 15th, and April 16th, 2017, I will be in Indianapolis, Indiana, with my co-host from the Starling Tribune, Michelle Ely, and we will be doing not one, not two, but three panels on podcasting, one per day. On Friday, the 14th of April, we'll be in room 131. Actually, all of them are in room 131, but from 2 to 3 p.m., we'll be doing a panel called Filling the Empty Podcast Chair. We're talking about bringing in a new co-host. So once I finally get rid of Steven, this will be very important for me to bring somebody else into better podcasting. See you later, Steven. And then the next panel that we'll be doing on Saturday, the 15th of April, will be Finding Co-Hosts for Your Podcast. Again, this will be me trying to find a podcast co-host to fill that empty chair that you see on the YouTube video right now. And we'll also be talking about Podcast 101. So bring your questions and it'll just be a great time. And then also finally on Sunday, the 16th of April, I will be with Michelle in room 131 from 11 to 12, talking about how to productively podcast with others. See, right now what I've done is I've hurt Steven's feelings. So off air, I'm going to have to make amends and we're going to have to figure out how we can move forward from this debacle. And we'll talk all about that on April 16th with Michelle. But really, both Michelle and I entered into podcasts through filling some empty seats, basically, on different podcasts, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Starling Tribune, and all about everything that is involved with that, including any contracts that you have to make, and so on and so forth. Of course, we do hobby podcasts, so we do it a little differently, and we have a lot of fun with it. But we did go through, for instance, bringing Michelle on, there was actually a contract to bring Michelle on. We might actually bring the contract and quote from it during the panel. And between Chris, Neil, and I, it was rather hilarious. So we'll see what Michelle actually allows us to divulge to the panel. So catch us in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Indiana Comic Con from April 14th. Through the 16th. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. If you're there, come say hi to me. I would really want to meet you, find out who you are, what your podcast is, and all that great stuff. So until next time, I am Stargate Pioneer saying we are ready to hear from you at Better Podcasting. Bye. See you guys later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.
No, I like your microphone.
Oh, dude, I like your microphone. It's so black and shiny, and it's got that nice grill on it. I really like your microphone.
No, but you've got the very clean backdrop. You know, like, I know mine's illuminated, but it's kind of cluttered. I think you've got your backdrop is better, my friend.
You know, I like your microphones in the background, and I like that lighted feel with, and I like the fact that you're able to display all your microphones. I like that.
But see, you have the better computer. I like your computer. It's never having troubles like mine is. Your computer's brand new. It's nice.
Yeah, and it's got those cool LED lights, but sometimes when I need it to be dark in the studio, it bugs me. So I like your just plain black computer box better.
Okay.
Probably does better with the airflow in there, too.